Good to go?
Good to go.
Good to go. So, I don't know where to begin. I'll begin with last week then. So, last week, Morgan, right, had this word of all in. And this idea of putting our hands in the center and almost like a sports team. We did that at the end of the service, you know, put all for Jesus, you know, or it's this place of let's go and we're all in. Like, and it's again it lines up with what was just said where we make that choice. It's put in front of us, but we make that choice then whether to be all in or not. God's not gonna force us to be all in. So then I have that. Like, so God ministered to us last week and been kind of chewing on that this week and just being blessed by that. And then, so then in my reading, I'm reading through Isaiah again right now. And just, oh my goodness, some stuff. But before I get to Isaiah, I want to read that passage then in Ephesians. Because I don't know if you know this. This is why reading through the entire scripture is really helpful and important. A lot of the themes, a lot of the things that we see in the New Testament, we can see in the Old Testament. So the Holy Spirit, it's not like God had this plan for the Old Testament, and then a totally different plan for the New Testament. Okay, wow, maybe we should pray for that kid. Yeah. Actually, I will, as I know as a parent, we would love it. So Lord, I pray a peace over that child right now from the other church, and I just pray peace and blessing and stillness. Quietness, Lord God. I pray that, Lord, even as we talked about before, where your spirit comes in and just blows and blows the wind of your spirit over in the heavenlies, and just I pray against the schemes of the enemy, and I pray that the schemes of the enemy would be done away with in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you would remind our brothers and sisters, yeah, of that place of authority that they've been given, to just pray blessing in that. And I just pray blessing over that child right now and over the parents and over the church that are meeting next door. Yeah, I just pray that in Jesus' name. So, yeah, again, it's really neat when you start reading through the entire word to see the themes that God has in the Old Testament being brought up again in the New Testament. So we're all familiar with Ephesians chapter 6, and eventually, probably in a few months, we'll get there in our Bible study. But we know that, you know, he says, you know, finally, be strong in the Lord. Verse 10, 6 verse 10, and in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then, even as John pointed out a few weeks ago, or months ago, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. And so there's the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6, summation of the armor of God. Okay? So that's what we're used to. Okay? That's what we understand. And that's all true. Like, obviously, there it is. And take on the full armor of God. But then, in Isaiah, I'm reading, and in light of what God was ministering last week, and what God has been ministering this morning, such a confirmation, by the way, because just to let you in on the process of sometimes how sermons work out or what am I going to teach on, I sometimes go through the week and am just not sure about what's going to happen. And Lord, you know, I don't have a schedule for the next 6 months or year as to what I'm going to. I don't know if you know that. I'm sure you do. But then last night, was it last night or the night before? Doesn't matter. I was up and it was late and I began to read the word again and then just write down a few lines. And I got this sense a few days ago where I think the Lord might be leading down this way. I'm not sure. But this morning, I just want to bless and confirm and affirm what God has been saying through all of us. Okay? It's of the Lord, and this is His timing. This is clearly His timing. And so then, Isaiah, chapter 43. No, we'll start in Isaiah 59 first. I'll go back to 43 later. Isaiah 59. Okay? And verse 17. Actually, we'll start in verse 16. He, and this is the Lord. Back in verse 15, the Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. Then verse 17, he put on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. And that just hit me again. I know I've read that before, but it hit me again when thinking about the armor of God, and you have all the armor of God, and yes, there are seven, well, there are six pieces specifically talked about in Ephesians chapter 6, and then as John pointed out a few weeks ago, months ago, the seventh piece is the piece of prayer, you know, where we pray for all the saints too. That's part of the armor. That almost, I see it like arrows going out, where you pray for people. But then this passage also tells me there's more to the armor of God. And I see this cloak, so you're fully armored. And I know that we've talked about before with Rick Joyner's vision of humility, wearing it like a cloak as well. But here, it talks specifically about putting on a cloak of zeal. And that really hit me. In light of what God was ministering last week, and this is why, again, I encourage, if you feel a prophetic word, share it. If the Lord doesn't take it anywhere at that point, okay, so what? Like, maybe you got it wrong, maybe you got it right, maybe it's for later. But please share it. Because this word given last week of all in, right? And what's being shared today, you know, sharing Ephesians 6:10. So important that you shared that. Sharing what has been shared. I just see God saying to us, will you put on zeal like a cloak? And it's this place of, will you accept this cloak that I want to give you? A zealous cloak. Like one that is all in. One that is going to just go after things and realize people are dying. A cloak that will cause you and will fill you in such a place where you will dive in and dive in such a way where I'm not going to dive in next to the shark. I'm heading straight for his head, and I'm gonna get my little dog free, you know, or I'm gonna see people set free. Where we are filled with that zeal. Where that zeal consumes us. And I realize that many of us in this room are laid-back people. And by the way, that's a beautiful quality. And the interesting thing is these things do not work against each other. It's a paradox, but it does work together. You can be laid-back and you can be fully zealous. God is not asking you to give up your personality. Okay? He made you exactly like He wants you. He loves the way He's made you. He loves, if you're laid back, He loves that. If you're a people person, He loves that. If you're gregarious and all out there and in people's face, I mean, it with a place of respect, of course, and that, He loves that. If you're loud and boisterous, He loves that. If you're quiet and just, you know, to yourself, He loves that. As long as it's not a timidity out of fear, and that kind of thing. And as long as it's not a loudness out of disrespect or not caring about what others, like other people's space in that, you know, we all have refinement in that. But we, again, most of us in this room are kind of laid back. We can be zealous and laid back. And so that's why even talking with this young man yesterday, you know, 17-year-old, I don't know him from Adam, I was just amazed at the boldness that was coming through me. And just, it was flowing. And I had to make sure I didn't think about it too much, because if I thought about it too much, it would just stop what God was doing. Right? Just let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. You know, kind of thing. Just go with it. Go with what the Lord is saying. And this zeal, allow the zeal of the Lord to consume you, to be cloaked, to wear it like a coat, to be cloaked with that zeal. I don't think we're called to, only God can put on the garments of vengeance. I don't think that's for us. That's made very clear in Scripture. But that place of zealousness for the Lord, and that all in. So as I was contemplating this, I thought back in my life, and I have to say, I haven't been zealous for too many things. Like, absolutely zealous, full of zeal, all in. Even, like, I know that I mentioned before sports and that, and right now it's college basketball is a big thing right now, and man, I was watching a game yesterday again. I'll probably watch another game today because the team I really like is playing today. And when you watch those college fans and you watch those kids on the floor playing basketball, they are all in. And they are zealous. And it took me back to my days of playing volleyball in college. And we had a good team and we went to nationals and all this. But I began to think to myself, because we were a team that was not all in. Other teams that we played against, they would have 5 practices a week plus 5 weight training sessions a week. We would only have 3 practices a week. No weight training sessions, no, just 3 practices. And often we convinced our coach, instead of practicing volleyball, let's play floor hockey, you know, because we just want to have fun. And we had a lot of natural talent on the team, and we actually were in the bronze medal match and of nationals in that our final year, and we lost there. But we had a lot of natural talent, but we were not all in. We would rather play floor hockey or indoor soccer or just goof around sometimes and then just... Now, in the moment when we were playing the game, we were all in. When we were playing the game, we wanted to win, and we were encouraging, and we were woohoo, and high-fiving, and yeah, let's go for it. But as far as our lifestyle, we were not all in. And it's just volleyball, so really, who cares? Mind you, it was really interesting. I had to ask the Lord, and maybe even repent a little bit, and I've still got to process this in my own life. Maybe you were trying to teach me through volleyball to be zealous. It reminded me of the verse, do everything as unto the Lord. And maybe he was trying to build zeal in me where I'm fully given to something. I'm all in. Because even at that time, that was my favorite sport. You know, I can't play it anymore because I have a vertical about this much right now. You know, I can't jump anymore. But at that time, it was my favorite sport, and I still wasn't all in. Maybe God was trying to build zeal. And I know that maybe, like when I'm talking with people and counseling and that, I'm all in the moment. But I'm wondering, through what God was ministering last week, through what he's ministering this week, it's like, am I all in? Yes, I know I am in the moment. But am I all in as a lifestyle? And this is where Isaiah 43 comes in. And I know there's context around the verse. But again, it's one of those verses that just hit me, and I had to just sit back after I read it and just ponder and meditate on it. So the Lord is calling out to Israel, and he wants to show mercy to them, and he's telling about how he is their only Savior in chapter 43 here and all that. And verse 22, so God has basically made his case. This is what I've done for you. And then verse 22, yet you have not called upon me, O Jacob. And this line hit me. And I understand, again, there's context, and it's I'm kind of pulling a verse out. But again, it fits with the rest of Scripture. This next line, you have not wearied yourselves for me, O Israel. And I asked myself, in the context of all in, and in the context of clothing myself with zeal, do I weary myself for the Lord? This isn't a place of trying to earn anything either. I just want to get rid of that right away. Like if anyone goes there, we're trying to earn God's favor or whatever. No, no. It is this place of, like Judy said, like salvation is done for us. But then after that, it is this place of God puts out his hand and says, walk with me. I want to do this with you. I want to do this with you. I want to walk this out with you. How far do you want to go? I'm willing to go all the way. How far do you want to go? And whether it's in Scripture, you know, I see men and women of God in Scripture or church history. I see men and women of God throughout church history. And I see people who are zealous for the Lord, all in, and even to that point of wearying themselves for the Lord. Again, not an earning thing, not a trying to gain his favor or trying to be loved more by God. You can't be loved more by God than you already are. He loves you fully already. It's not about that. But it's this place of, are you all in? And I'm not going to force you to be all in. I'm willing to go as far as you want to go, but you have to actually walk that out. I will carry you at times, absolutely, when you are burdened or when you're the enemy is coming against you, when you're injured, or I will heal you and all these things. But I'm not going to carry you when you can walk yourselves. It reminds me of how we do treat our children sometimes. Like, you know, they get to an age, you know, when they're young like this, you can't say to Kira, okay, you walk by yourself. Oh, she's getting close to that place of walking. You know, but as they get older and bigger, and carry me, it's like, no, you can walk yourself. And yes, when you're really tired or when you're hurt, you'll pick up your child and you'll carry them for a while. But as all of us as parents who have had kids who have grown up now, man, carrying around a 60-pound, you know, 7-year-old or whatever, that gets a little bit, no, you got to walk. And not that God can't carry us. He can carry us all on the tip of his finger. Like, he can carry all of humanity. Like, it's nothing for him. But it is this place of, no, will you accept it? Will you walk this out? And so all of this put together, again, the armor of God, we are in a battle. We are in a war. The sharks are coming and grabbing people. The enemy is coming. Wild beasts, like it talks, whenever it talks about wild beasts, there is a demonic component to it in the Scripture, okay? So wild beasts are coming and snatching people, okay? And are we all in to see people rescued? Now, I don't say this, I don't want us to fall into the other ditch of then, no, I'm not. I'm such a horrible person. I'm not all in. No, no, it's not for that. Don't fall into that ditch. That's a dangerous ditch. It's this place of encouragement, of God saying, are you all in? Do you want to go further? Let's go further. And again, like I've shared before, in my personal walk with God, I never thought I'd be this far. And so I'm already, if you look at it as an analogy or metaphor of climbing a mountain, I'm already higher than I ever thought I'd be. And I already see further than I ever thought I saw. It's already more beautiful than I ever thought it would be. Like I'm at a, you know, like if you're hiking, you sometimes have lookout points, you know, and I'm looking around, it's like, this is amazing. And I looked down and I thought, man, I thought I would only make it there. And Lord, you've brought me here. This is awesome. And he's standing right beside me with his arm around me saying, yeah, isn't it beautiful? And then he points to another lookout point a little higher. And he says, you want to go up there? Well, if you think the view is beautiful from here, you want to go up there? You want to see the viewpoint from up there? It's amazing. It's amazing. And man, you love fighting the enemy right now and seeing people set free. Oh, you can hit the enemy from up there like you can't hit him from here. Your arrows go even further. Your accuracy and everything, it's even more. Do you want to go up there? It's like, okay. But Lord, it looks like a difficult trail. It looks a little tiring. Yep, you're going to get tired. You're going to get tired, I got to say that. And there's going to be things along the way that are going to want to discourage you. And the enemy's going to try and stop us as we walk up this road together, you know. But are you in? Are you all in? And it's this place of, am I willing to be cloaked with zeal? I think this is what the Lord is offering us right now. I remember when I was, this is years ago, before we went to Thailand, I've mentioned this before, where I was in prayer with Randy and Darla, and I think Dan Kramer was there as well. And at one point, Randy said to me, I feel like I'm supposed to offer you something on behalf of the Lord. And it's a gift of steadfastness. Are you willing? And I know what steadfastness is. Like steadfastness, another word for it, an old English word for it is long-suffering. And in order to gain long-suffering, you have to suffer long. It just goes hand in hand. And I was like, you know, I knew what the Lord was offering me, and I knew what it would take. But I said to Randy, how can I refuse? Like, when God offers you a gift, how can you say, nah, I'm good, thanks, but I'm good? You know, it's Almighty God offering you a gift. You can't say no. And Randy, I remember his response, like, yeah, I don't see how you can. I don't see how people can, meaning in general, but people do. People do refuse the Lord at times. I feel like he's offering us that. He's offering us something right now. He's offering us that cloak of zeal. And it's like, do we want it? Now, our eyes, our thinking might go to all the, yeah, then we'll be like, woohoo, and all this. But there is a cost, too. Again, it's this place of wearying yourselves for the sake of the Lord, wearying yourselves for the people around you, wearying yourself for a lost and dying world. Not that we're the Savior, but again, God walks with us, and He'll lead us, and He'll be in the lead, but He'll lead us to those places where He's going, and He wearies Himself for us. He wearies Himself for the Lord. I think about Jesus living His life on this earth. He got up early in the morning many times, went up the mountain to pray. He had a zeal for those around Him. He had a zeal for His calling. And all the other teachings that we've had still fit into this. Yeah, we're not all called to be everything. You're not called to save anyone, actually. You're not the Savior. But you're not called to even minister to everyone. It's not about that. Like, so all that teaching that we've had, it still is into play. But are we willing to be absolutely zealous for the Lord? And here's the thing. I find, it's like that old hymn, and the things of earth grow strangely dim. As your zeal for the Lord grows, I find that your zeal for other things dwindles. Okay? And it's almost like you can only be zealous for one thing at a time. That's not fully true. So you got to take that with a grain of salt. I think about the thing that I'm most zealous for, and I think you all know, I think I've talked about it enough, I'm most zealous for my wife, you know. And I don't think that will wane. I don't think that should wane. But it's that place of everything in its proper place. But I find as the Lord just moves in me, and as I continue to walk that path with him, I find other things start to fall away. Things that I used to be excited about, I'm not excited about as much anymore. Not that they're wrong or bad. I've talked about the Toronto Maple Leafs and that kind of stuff. I still like the Leafs, but I wouldn't necessarily even call myself a fan anymore. Like, I'm a little bit of a fair-weather fan. If they're doing well, and if in that particular game they're not doing well, I'll change the channel or whatever. It's just like, whatever. I still want to see them win, because I think it's a sign of Jesus coming again if they win the Stanley Cup. But it's... the things of Earth grow strangely dim, and you know what? That's okay. Because people are dying and going to hell. Are we willing to be filled with that kind of zeal? You know? Are we willing? And I just hear him, I see him putting this cloak in front of us and saying, are you willing to wear that? A zeal for the Lord. Are we willing to wear that? Are there any comments or questions or thoughts on this? It brings up, as I was meditating on this, it brings up verses like where David danced before the Lord with all his might. And I love that God has taught us about that. And I see him more and more teaching about worshiping him fully. That's very closely related. But one of my prayers, as God has brought freedom of worship into my life more and more, like where I can dance before him now and jump and shout or kneel or flag wave or whatever, as that has grown in my life, one of my prayer, and like I see that zeal, now it's giving a word to it, I see that zeal for the Lord on Sunday mornings in myself, on Mondays in myself, on Tuesdays, on Thursdays when we get together to worship every other week and that. I see that zeal growing more and more. But my prayer has been, Lord, I want it to be there at all times. I want this authority, and it has to do with authority. Like, it all is so intertwined beautifully. I want it to be there all the time. I want it to be there. Like, Thursday, I want to wear this coat. I want this to be my favorite coat. Like, I want to walk in this love for you, this passion for you, this zeal for you. Even as I'm just going about my day, I want to be consumed by you. And thoughts of you and thoughts of the kingdom and where nothing else gets in the way. And may everything else be shed, you know, that gets in the way. And just this cloak of, again, this cloak of zeal. May it be put over us. Again, any thoughts? Yeah.
I guess it plays right into this. That song that's been going through my head the whole time. It's a Casting Crowns song.
Right.
And it basically starts as, all my life I wanted to be a hero. There's something I wanted, that drive, and it's helped me to walk into deeper water, Lord, but why am I still here just playing in the sand?
Yeah.
And it's that feeling, you have it, but it's like, if I could just, Lord, give me the words.
Right.
Give me the opportunities. And then when the opportunities arrive, it's kind of like, I'm scared. I'm encouraged by the two of you, Carly and Kevin, having the courage to follow the Holy Spirit with the words that are given to you and to continue with that. I want that.
Amen. And I think that the more we do it, I was just amazed at yesterday how supernaturally natural it was. I wasn't forcing myself even. It was just this place of just wear it. Just wear it and go with it and allow me to speak through you. And just, and it's not that he even said that. And so it's that place of you just wear it. And it's, may it. And I do agree, like, like the word breakthrough, and I think this is the breakthrough that, like, this is part of that quality of breakthrough that the Lord is talking about. It needs to be accepted, though. He is not going to force us to wear this coat. He gives us the coat and says, it's your choice whether to put it on or not. And will we accept it? Will we say thank you? And will we wear this coat? Will this be a part of our armor, this cloak of zeal that we see in Isaiah? Any other thoughts or questions on this?
Yeah. So Bill and I, we were talking, there was some stuff that we were kind of working through together, and so one of the things was, like, there's the verses that say, love the Lord your God with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. But we were saying, actually, it only comes down to the one. It's only love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and then you will love your neighbor. It will all come, but it's that place of having, yeah, that zeal, that first love for God.
Yeah.
And only Him. And then He will help you to talk to who you're supposed to, you know, be in relationship with you. Everything will fall into its proper place, and we will do it like He wants us to.
Yeah.
But it all starts with that zeal for Him and walking with Him and getting to know Him better. Like, even that whole thing of doing it with Him, it's like, you know, if you have a father who just does everything for his kids and he keeps coming home and he's, oh, here's this and here's this and here's this. It's like, well, that's fine and good, but it's better to do it with them. And so because then they get to know who you are and how you work. And so I think when we do things with God and He knows that we do best that way, we get to know Him, not just get His stuff.
Yeah.
But we actually, and I think that's the ultimate goal, more than getting the stuff, it's the just loving Him.
Yeah.
Regardless of what we get.
Yeah.
So.
Amen. It's good. Anyone else? Okay, so then a little bit of homework. And I do believe it's something that needs to be worked through. Like, we can work through it as a church, a little bit together, but it's also a very individual thing. Ask yourself, am I zealous for the Lord? Not do I love the Lord, because I believe everyone in this room loves Jesus. Everyone who knows. The little ones don't know yet. They don't know Jesus yet. But I believe everyone in this room loves Jesus. That's not the question. Do you love Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Full of zeal? And I think part of that characteristic is, do you weary yourself for the Lord? And again, not to earn and anything like that, but do we weary ourselves for the Lord? And even there, understand that I think some of us have, like, I know I can answer that question both yes and no. I do have zeal, and again, I'm further on the zeal scale than I ever thought I'd be, but I look up and the Lord points, there's higher heights. There's other stuff there. Do you want to go there? And so it's a yes and no thing. So, are you zealous for the Lord? And if not, do you want to be? Do you accept? Will you accept this cloak? And ask the Lord what that all means, because He wants you to count the cost. I mean, if people knew us, like if we were on Twitter, or if people who, you know, if we mattered, if you will, like to the outside world, and people are listening to this, they would call us fundamentalists, and they would call us zealots, and they would call us all sorts of things. How do I know that? Because they're calling other people that take a far less stand than we do, even, you know. And so there's a cost to it. I've already been told that, you know, I love you, and I know you love Jesus, but you're too spiritual. It's like, man, I don't think I'm spiritual enough. You know, I need to be more so. I'm too worldly. And so there is a cost, but then this place of, I see, so am I zealous for the Lord? And if not, are you willing to accept? Are you willing to walk out that zeal for the Lord? Are you willing to put that cloak of zeal, like it talks about in Isaiah 59, you're willing to wear it like a garment? Are you willing to have that as part of the armor of God and be a characteristic of who you are?
Yeah, it's like, it's one thing when you're at church and
yeah.
And we all have it on together, but you walk out those doors, you make a choice whether to put it on as an individual.
Yeah. And I love it, and that's why I think it's so important to meet together, because really, not that when we meet together it's practice, but like we get to, this is family, so it's more and more freedom, and we can wear what we know we're supposed to wear, but then it's this place of, yeah, we each have homes to go to, we, you know, jobs, school, neighbors, neighborhoods, whatever, and also just alone at home, in your own private time when no one's looking, when no one is around. Is that zeal for the Lord a characteristic of your life?
I don't believe Satan fears Christians, but he does fear committed Christians.
Yeah, absolutely. And, And again, I want to remind you, I love that. I hear Larry's voice speaking in my ear right now, and I think it's the Holy Spirit with Larry's voice speaking through Larry. Often he is reminded, and I want to remind us, it's not that we're not committed. It's not that God hasn't been doing things through us. He has. It's not that we don't have zeal. We have zeal. But it's, again, I see the Lord at that lookout point, like I said, on that, and pointing up and saying, do you want to go there? And so it's not that, I don't want to discount what God has been doing through us and what he has done in us and where he has taken us already. But, oh my goodness. I feel like what he's offering isn't just even one step above or a little bit. It's this. I see this. Depending on what, like I see a warrior, and depending on what age you think of, like whether it's Civil War or, you know, William Wallace kind of stuff, or medieval with knights and all that, but whatever armor you get pictured with, then I see this big, not just a little bit, this big, thick, warm coat. Like just, and draping, and like long, like long cloak, almost like a robe, and just being draped over our shoulders. And so it's not just a little bit, it's big. And that's what the Lord is offering us, it's zeal.
Maybe it's just the way that I've always pictured it too, and maybe it's because of the final quest, but like putting on this cloak of zeal doesn't just negate, like, because I always picture a cloak of humility too.
Yeah.
And I don't think we take one off and put the other
one
on. Like it's always that.
It's layers.
Yeah. Not even the same cloak, just
yeah.
at different times.
Well, and we're always cloaked with that.
Yeah.
I agree. And it doesn't negate the armor that's underneath. All the armor needs to be underneath, too. Yeah. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. I do think I need to pray for myself first, but then I'm going to pray for Emmanuel Grace, because I do think I have that place where I can. And I think I have the agreement of others who are in that place of leadership as well. But then I think, God is calling us all to think about it individually and pray, prayerfully consider what he is offering individually. So Lord, I bless your name for just how you speak. And again, even thinking about the prophetic, Lord, I just bless the prophetic in this place. And I love that you speak through us, Lord. And you give a word to one and another word to another. And a prophetic word, a prophetic dream, a vision, a picture, a scripture, a song. I praise you for all of them. And I pray that they would just continue to be, please pour those things out on us and pour your spirit out on us in those ways. And I praise you for the word of all in and breakthrough and just how that has continued then this week with Ephesians and Isaiah. And Lord, I pray for myself first of all, where I see you offering this cloak of zeal, Lord. I see you offering it, and I say yes to it. I say yes to it. Just like last week, we asked each other, are we all in? And we all in, and all for Jesus. And I accept this cloak, Lord, and I want to wear it. I want to be wrapped in it, Lord. And then I pray for Emmanuel Grace, and on behalf of Emmanuel Grace, and again, the words come to me like at a wedding, by the power invested in me, you know. And that's just because of the calling, that it's because of God, it's not because of me, it's because of God's calling on my life and that. But on behalf of Emmanuel Grace, I accept this cloak for Emmanuel Grace. I pray that Emmanuel Grace would, I accept the zeal. I accept that. And I'm just going to ask, for the other elders in the room right now, if you see the same thing, just to kind of amen that, or
Jesus, that too. I pray that over us too, Lord God, and just accept that, Lord God, for us, and just know that we each have our own place afterwards, Lord God, to just declare that, Lord God, and with you, and just in the heavens, Lord God. But I pray, Lord God, that as we accept this cloak as you, Lord God, that you've spoken about in your word, Lord Jesus, I pray protection around us, Lord God, as we step out. And I just pray, Lord God, that your hedge just carry us, Lord God, and just allow us to hear clearly, Lord God, as we stand in you and as we share with others, Lord God, and as we speak into others' lives. I just pray, Lord God, that your words and your spirit, Lord God, be what fills us and what carries us through that, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord God, that it just be such a, kept that just that second nature, Lord God, just to, or even first nature, Lord God, just to walk that out and just know, Lord God, that these things that are pressed on our hearts, Lord God, are just you wanting to share with others, Lord God, and just speak truth and life into others' lives, Lord God. And so I pray that zeal over us, Lord God. Mm. I pray that blessing just wash over this body, Lord God, for those that are here and those that aren't able to be with us yet, Lord God. I pray that for all of us. I pray, Lord God, that you just wash over us. Mm. Your spirit, Lord God, and your power and authority, Lord God, just to stand in who you are, Lord God, because of what you've done for us, Lord Jesus. And just we praise you and we love you, Lord. Thank you.
Mm.
Lord God, I praise you for what you're doing this morning. And I declare that I personally receive this blessing of zeal for you. And I pray this blessing of zeal over Emmanuel Grace as well. And I thank you, God, that you invite us into more of you. And it's for our good. And it's for the good of the kingdom. And God, I just, I praise you, Lord, for the power that you are able to just fill us with, and you desire to use us corporately and individually. And God, we thank you for gifts, for all that you give us. And yeah, I just, I don't know, I just sense God's asking, is anyone willing to declare that here now? The invitation is for each of us to receive that cloak of zeal from him.
Father, we declare that we have been crucified with Christ. We have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer us who live, but you live within us. And it was your joy and your love disclosed to us . Thank you, Father. We just accept it. And we live by faith in that.
Mm.
So we declare it in the heavenlies and here. Father, may we join in with you with full passion. As we see you work, may we join in with you. May we all be at the right place at the right time in the days to come. For your glory, for the expansion of your kingdom here on this earth. Thank you, Lord.
Sorry?
We should say the Lord's Prayer together.
Okay. Let's pray it up. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
When you were praying, Kevin, the Lord gave me a picture of riding a bicycle when you're young and training wheels on it. And he said, it's time to take them off. But then he showed himself jumping on our backs and riding on the bicycle without the training wheels. So he is the cloak. You could see, I could see his whole, like a leather coat, and he's like, yeah, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and I'm with you through it all, so trust me, basically.
Yeah.
So I accept that too, Lord. Thank you that you're always there with us and that we can trust you, and the more we trust you, the more you give us, and just accept your warmth and your protection in the days to come.
Anyone else? Yeah.
I just feel like I'm supposed to pray for, like, because I know for myself I have a lot of anxiety about really, like, talking to people and just really the whole thing of, you know, like what you talked about earlier about, like, you know, advancing the kingdom through witness. I really struggle with, well, talking to people I don't know in general, but especially about, like, spiritual things. I just have a lot of anxiety about, like, you know, that people might get offended or that I might, like, hurt someone or something. So, yeah, Lord, I just want to pray against any anxiety, like, for anyone in this room, and that just, yeah, that just, you would allow us all to be bold and just remove that, and that we'd be able to not worry about offending or hurting people, and just that if just to speak out what you tell us to speak out, Lord. Yeah. Just pray this in your name.
Amen. So awesome.
I do accept that as well.
Amen. It's good.
This is really funny, but I was like,
have we done worship yet? Because it feels like we're worshiping, like,
we
the
are.
Past,
it's,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so true. Well, let's worship together in song. And again, we have been worshiping. And I want to encourage, too, please don't let the enemy say, well, you didn't say anything this morning. That means the ship has sailed. I don't hear the Lord saying that. It's not like one of these infomercials where you have to buy in the next 20 minutes. I think the Lord does want us to contemplate what this means, and are we willing to accept? And I would encourage you, again, at homework, if you're ready, like if you're saying to the Lord right now, amen, yeah, and awesome, but if you're at this place of, I really need to chew on this, and I want to honor it and do it justice, and yeah, just take it home, and you and God, and I just really hear him saying that, yeah, he wants to give this to us. And then lastly, what Julie said there, oh, man, about the Lord jumping on our back. Like, all his gifts are himself. Every gift that he gives is himself. So his patience, he gives himself. His love, he gives himself. The zeal, yeah, I love that picture. I just see Jesus like, and jumping on. I said, piggybacking on her back and like, yep, this is my I thought you said you were going to give me a coat of zeal. I am, and I am that coat. I am that coat. It's me. And so, yeah, I love that picture. It's awesome. Love you, Jesus.